The Purpose Podcast, a podcast series brought to you by Social Business Trust to celebrate the 10-year anniversary. The podcast will explore social impact, corporate purpose, and social innovation. We'll be bringing together diverse voices and perspectives from in and around Social Business Trust's network to look at the importance of the social sector in an ever-changing world. We'll also show how working in partnership with businesses and volunteers helps social enterprises and charities grow and deliver life-changing impact. Thanks goes to the corporate partners for their ongoing support: Bain, Charles Russell Speechleys, Clifford Chance, EY, Permira, Permira Debt Managers, Refinitiv, and Thomson Reuters.
Today we'll be taking a look back at 10 years of the Social Business Trust, reflecting on both the successes and challenges in the social enterprise space. We'll also start to look forward and touch upon some of the challenges in a post-COVID world. My name is Toby Amos, and I'm the Head of Developer Workflows at Refinitiv. To help us drive this conversation, joining me today are three people who have been right at the centre of social enterprise, both in terms of thought leadership and execution on the ground. They are Adele Blakeborough, MBE and CEO of the Social Business Trust. Joining Adele, we also have Charlie Leadbeater, author and innovator. Joining us also is Sir Damon Buffini. As a former chair and founding partner of Permira, Damon co-founded Social Business Trust in 2010 together with Adele.
It's no longer the big that will eat the small in terms of who survives. It's the fast that eat the slow.
In its way, what the Social Business Trust is doing is really creating a space where you can solve problems together and create new solutions. That, actually, we just need more and more of that.
Suddenly, volunteers were popping up on Zoom from Berlin or San Francisco, whether you're in London or in Wales. You could be part of this. You could be part of the solution. You didn't have to be physically there.
Thank you all very much for joining today's discussion. If I may, I'd like to kick off with you, Adele. Can you encapsulate for us why social enterprise?
So what do we mean by social enterprise? For me, it's really a shorthand because there's no legal definition of a social enterprise, but it's most often a charity that has an innovative solution to a social problem. And their social mission is at the heart of everything they do. But they also have a service or a product to sell. So they are more like businesses than the traditional charity. So the social enterprise and charity might be selling to the education authority or local authorities, social services. So they are like a business in that they've got to become sustainable. They need to be sustainable. So I'm attracted to that way of thinking, partly because I'm a social entrepreneur myself, but also I do think that working with those organisations from a business perspective makes a lot of sense rather than working with some more traditional charities where they are really mostly dependent on grants.
Okay, thanks for that, Adele. So moving on to you, Charlie, what's interesting to you about the social entrepreneurs?
So I first met social entrepreneurs back in, I suppose, 1996, 97, and a bunch of social entrepreneurs, including Adele, came to me and said, we're social entrepreneurs, but we don't really know what that means, which is a sort of typical social entrepreneur kind of thing to say. And could you help us understand what it means? And I found them incredibly sort of interesting, intriguing, and in ways inspirational, because I suppose, you know, I'd come from a world in which kind of business was on one side, government was on the other. If you wanted to do good, you expected charities to do that. And these guys just sort of mixed things up. They were prepared to do anything in whatever way it took to get a better solution for the people they were working with. So they were very, they didn't believe in dogmas and taboos and divisions. They were very prepared to work with all sorts of different people in different ways. And they always had very high ambitions for people. So I was used to sort of working with charities where everything would look a bit threadbare. And they would insist on doing things in the best possible way because the people they were working with deserved the best. And they believed in people's capabilities to sort of take charge of things, to make a difference for themselves. So there was this sort of combination of sort of action, seeking solutions, learning as you go, improvising. And but fundamentally, as Adele said, that the solutions to social challenges lie in resources flowing in different ways to people. They don't depend on the state redistributing things after the event or charity. They need the market to work in a different kind of way. And that was the kind of big thing that I thought they were trying to get at.
Yeah, that's really interesting. So almost a refreshing outlook for, you know, for the corporate world in some ways.
Well, I think in some way, what was interesting about them was that they were prepared to learn from the corporate world, but were also a challenge to the corporate world. So they're saying to the corporate world, you should get involved in this kind of stuff, and you should think about the world in this kind of way. And although they were sustainable, they weren't profit maximizers. They weren't saying that maximizing profit was the way to solve all social problems. But they certainly had this view, which Adele talked about, which was, for sustainable solutions, people had to be able to earn incomes, and they had to, you know, create businesses. That you couldn't rely on the government to do that or on charity. And that was a very powerful message, and one that resonated really strongly with the people they were working with, who didn't want a hand up or a handout or a government program. They wanted, you know, proper communities with proper jobs and businesses that could really sustain them.
Yeah, absolutely. And it strikes me as that, you know, we're really talking about the best of business and the best of social enterprise, really leading towards greater social impact, but also to better business. And certainly this is definitely a two-way flow of opportunities, both for our corporate partners and the social enterprises themselves. Damon, what are your thoughts on the benefits of corporates working with social enterprise?
Well, it's interesting. There's been a sort of a circle on this. When we started 10 years ago, we went out to find the sort of skills we thought that social enterprises would need to scale up. So, you know, we went to banks, lawyers, accountancy firm, consultants, private equity firms. And we just thought, you know, that, you know, social enterprises need all these skills to, you know, to really make a success and make them sustainable. But we actually didn't think about it the other way. What would the corporates gain from the social enterprises? Naturally, over a long period of time, it became pretty clear that actually these social enterprises could, you know, at working in a partnership with these big corporates, there was a real sort of synergy of experience and skills came together, and there are lots of different ways where I think the corporates were quite surprised. If you think about it, 10 years ago, I think employees spent a lot of time thinking about volunteering, but actually it wasn't part of the corporate culture, really. And when they did it, they spent most of their time stepping out, doing very laudable tasks like painting or visiting people in their homes. But actually what the social business trust allowed corporates to do is use their companies, their employee skills. I mean, there's a massive reservoir of skills and experiences these employees have. Mm. And what they found out is that actually the employees really wanted to apply them in a way that they thought they were adding value. So that made a massive positive difference to these corporates when their employees turned around and said, you know, this is incredibly valuable for us. And in fact, if I remember correctly, Adele, one of our corporate partners used that as a recruiting pitch.
Yes,
to
they
differentiate
did.
Themselves with other, I think it was a consulting firm, with other consultants by saying, look, you will be able to use these skills in a social environment. So the employees really loved it, and it became absolutely essential for the corporates to allow their employees to do it. Another aspect in which the corporates are learning from social enterprises is the fact that they're very entrepreneurial, they're nimble, they're focused, and they operate with lower costs, and often in very short timescales in quite challenging circumstances. And for big corporates, actually employees quite like that exposure and often get a lot more responsibility than they might get in their day job. So it's very attractive as a experience, but also maybe as a training tool for lots of these corporate employees. And generally, I think certainly more now than 10 years ago, it is obvious that there is a different social contract now between business and society. As part of that contract, we had to step back and say, we're working with, you know, a really successful social enterprise that's making a massive difference. And we're using our day-to-day skills to make that happen and make a difference to, you know, perhaps thousands and thousands of people who might not be as advantaged as our employees or generally. I think that's essential for business in the current social context. So social enterprise, working with social enterprises really does have a lot to offer from the corporate's point of view and from their employees' point of view. So it's quite an attractive proposition.
Absolutely. And that certainly resonates with me. If I think about my role as investment director for Baloo, you know, I'm going to be getting exposure to board level conversations and maybe some of the conversations that in my position at Refinitiv, I wouldn't be exposed to. So I see it as a huge learning opportunity. So that really resonates with me. Thank you. Reflecting on the last 10 years then, since the publication of The Influential, The Rise of the Social Entrepreneur, Charlie, how have you seen this area evolve?
Well, actually, Toby, it's more like 25 years since that. So it's a much longer time frame. And I think, I mean, I'd put it this way, that report, which came out in the late 90s, was, I think, the second thing published in either the US or the UK about social entrepreneurship. And it seemed like a slightly mad thing to be doing. And it certainly seemed marginal. There was no one really talking about it. And what's happened since then is that it's sort of proven to be a kind of idea that arrived just at the right time to help catalyze and make sense of lots of things that people wanted to do. There was a huge surge amongst young people, but also older people in, you know, a kind of the third stage of their career, if you like, wanting to do something different, wanting to make a contribution in some kind of way. There's been a huge rise in, you know, business school courses, in leadership programs, in investment funds, and in the UK an entire sort of policy framework, which is in many ways the best in the world. And lots of people have been involved in doing that, like Ronnie Cohen and others. So there's been this enormous wave. But I think, if you like, the big question for us all involved in that movement and what have you is, if we're all doing so many interesting things which are so good, why is the world such a mess? Or to put it in a slightly ruder way, why is everything so shit if everything we're doing is so good? And I think the answer to that is that we actually haven't found the answer to this question of scale and scale of impact. And we're still searching for that. And one route to scale is certainly to grow larger organizations. I don't think we've done a terribly good job in that space. And the most important, I think, is to influence other parts of the sort of economic landscape. There, I think, unfortunately, I think a lot of social enterprise in relation to government has got wrapped into the public sector and become a little bit too dependent on the public sector in some kind of ways. But the biggest impact, I think, is in the changing discussion over the nature of business and its social purpose and social values. And so I think, you know, really the big impact of social enterprise is still coming, and it's going to come when we start to rethink what businesses are for, how they should be measured, what their purpose is. All of that discussion, which, you know, 20 years ago, even 10 years ago, would have been peripheral, is now absolutely center stage. And that's something that these people involved in social enterprise have enabled to make happen. So I think maximizing, if you like, the difference that social enterprise makes to the way we think about what business should be is one of the biggest things it can do.
So I would say that the business community, from my past experience at SBT, has been that employees, particularly younger employees, are now demanding these voluntary type experiences, and that many of our people who've been involved in social business trust are saying, if I join you as a company, what are you going to do? Not only in terms of paying me a good salary or giving me experience so that I can use my skills. And they're expecting the employer to provide some of those valuable experiences. And that's a real change. When I think about what has changed, the biggest thing is the move into digital. Obviously, the business community is way ahead of the social sector in this regard. And that's partly because the social sector just hasn't had the resources or access to the quality provision that the business community might have had. That need for digitization has become an essential rather than a nice to have. So one of the things we're very proud of at Social Business Trust is trying to help our social enterprises right across the board create digital responses to become confident with digital and to make that a bedrock of anything that they are providing. And so I think that a lot more needs to be done in this area. And also, although as Charlie alluded to this concept that we've progressed and there are some fantastic social enterprises, I do feel we haven't grown as we could have or ought to grow as much as we would have liked.
But we need to scale this up further to achieve the kind of change that we want, to really have the impact that we're all aspiring to deliver on.
It does feel like that. We've only just begun, even though some of us have been doing this for 30 years or more.
Absolutely. And coming on to you, Damon, how do you feel that the corporate landscape has risen to the challenge? Do you feel it's still a challenge to get people on board, or do we feel that over the last 10 years, say, there's been a real change in thinking and willingness and appetite for corporates to be involved?
I certainly think there's been a sea change in corporates' attitude to engaging in society, and it's, you know, understanding the purpose of the business and the stakeholders, which don't just include the shareholders, it includes all aspects of society. It's actually fundamental now to the way that companies position themselves, and really it's fundamental. It's like a sort of license to be able to operate. 10 years ago, social enterprise really just sat in the CSR department. Companies, they sort of packaged up their, you know, their sort of do-gooding in CSR and sort of put it in a corner and tick that box. And that's really changed. So this sort of purpose is central to business really means that actually companies have got that throughout their DNA. And that's a great opportunity for social enterprises, because it means that all aspects of companies are looking how can they use their skills, not just to make profit for their shareholders, but to engage with society. So I think that attitude has changed. However, I still find they find it relatively hard to penetrate the sort of social enterprise area. I still think there's some misgivings in the social enterprise sector about, you know, profit and, you know, corporate world, and do they really mean it? So getting the two to engage productively, which is going to on a effectively level playing field. I mean, social enterprises have an opportunity to be partners with really big companies, I mean, real partners, because they have something to add to each other.
I totally agree with that, Damon. I think that the brokerage or alchemy that we talk about is absolutely necessary, because the two worlds don't naturally and easily work together.
Yeah, the funny thing is, Adele, the connection with the SBT provides is incredibly valuable. Actually, but when corporates start working with social businesses, they understand wow, these guys are really professional. Their markets are real markets. They're competing with real companies. They've got to offer a quality product and they've got to scale up and they don't have the skills to do it. That's where we can help. So I think often they're surprised at how much congruency there is between, you know, the corporate and the social enterprise. It's actually just a question of scale and a question of the opportunity to really apply these skills and make these social enterprises bigger. That the social enterprise, just by the very nature of the fact that they often are small and they start very small, they don't have that. But they have much more in common than they think.
So let's start to think forwards. What does a sector need now?
I think what the sector needs is greater understanding, as Damon has said, on the opportunities of working collaboratively with business so that corporate responsibility doesn't just stay in this margins of business, but is right there in the centre and becomes much more part of the purpose. And the social sector can connect with that purpose and not just go towards the corporate responsibility department. So we'll always have to have a purpose beyond just the business imperative. And the social sector needs to understand how to harness that and enable the business to flourish. So I think there should be great opportunities for us to work together and move away from simply being part of the public sector, for example. I think that business and the social sector could work brilliantly together. That's my own personal view. I don't know. Charlie, what do you think? Do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, I do think that this interaction between the corporate world and the sort of business world and social enterprise is probably the most interesting bit, and government should be more open than it is, but unfortunately in different ways it isn't. And I think as we go forward and there are more questions about what sort of capitalism we want, what kind of economy we want, you know, the capacity to kind of create interesting models, interesting conversations like that is going to get more important, not less important. And so in its way, what the Social Business Trust is doing, which I think goes beyond brokering and simply connecting sort of social enterprises and corporations, it's really creating a space where you can solve problems together and create new solutions. That, actually, we just need more and more of that, really. We need more big people collaborating with more small people, and the small people usually have big ideas, bigger ideas than it's possible to have inside big organizations. They have bolder ideas, often dismissed as sort of maverick. And the people inside those small organizations desperately need the people who can think at scale about what you need to do to simplify an offer or to market it so that it really can take off. Mm-hmm. So that, I think, that connection, I think, is going to be really important. One of the big things, of course, that's changed in the last 10 years and quite how that plays out is the role of digital. And I don't think we have got anywhere near exploring really the potential of digital to enable all of that kind of change. And of course, the role of all of that wealth and power, much of it in Silicon Valley and places like Silicon Valley to do that. Now, and that's, I think, a sort of really untapped thing. But I think this interaction of, if you like, margins and big ideas, mainstream and big capacity, getting those together in creative ways, that's going to become, I think, more and more important.
Thanks, Charlie. Damon, I think we heard you say earlier around that the big challenge here is one of scale, doing this with a greater degree of amplification. Any thoughts on how we might do that?
I have to say, I think the digital, the exploitation of the ability to reach millions of customers with your product, whatever that is, especially in consumer land, but others as well, it has to be a benefit to organize small organizations like social enterprises that don't have to any longer invest in this huge infrastructure, and being able to get the message out to the consumer that not only they're buying a great product, and you can't get away from it. Social enterprises have to, they have to deliver a great product. It has to be competitive, right? So if you've got a competitive product, being able to communicate that to the consumer and telling it's a social enterprise digitally, it's got to expand your market. So I think that digital opportunity is huge, and being able to understand how you work with that is great. I think social entrepreneurs have got to have more confidence in what they're doing. You know, in the world that I've seen, you know, it's no longer the big that will eat the small in terms of who survives. It's the fast that eat the slow. And small organizations tend to be much faster and much more nimble. And entrepreneurs, as we've seen, looking at West Coast or whatever, you know, fintech in the UK, life sciences, you know, these innovators come from relatively small companies that are not encumbered. And so social entrepreneurs are doing that all the time. And so therefore have to have a lot more confidence in, you know, the value that they're adding to society and get out there and deliver the message. You know, I think SVT is much more than a brokerage as well. I think it's the opportunity to magnify everything that's positive about social enterprises and what they're doing, and how they are very competitive with the relative resources, and allow corporates to either apply that, or partner with them, help them, whatever it is. And I think that then you get the message out, people know about it more, they realize it's mainstream. You know, the message has got to get out more than it is, I think.
Thanks, Damon. In the last 6 months, we've seen a global pandemic that's causing seismic shifts in the way people, corporations, and of course, social enterprises operate. And I think we touched on the digital aspect of this. Now, how is this affecting social enterprise, and what are the key challenges? You know, what can we learn from this to apply to social enterprises to help them scale?
Yeah, so one of the revelations to me during COVID-19, when the pandemic first hit and we were immediately locked down, I, like many people, thought, okay, everything's going to be closed and we'll sit back and wait and see what happens. But we've seen that outpouring of wanting to be connected, wanting to help, and the social enterprises needing so much support to keep the show on the road. So I hope that things will never be the same again. We've seen that growing commitment and no diminution in terms of volunteering and activity. So I think the other thing is that people were able to contribute more from different global centres. You know, we've always been quite UK and London centric, but suddenly volunteers were popping up on Zoom from Berlin or San Francisco. Whether you're in London or in Wales, you could be part of this. You could be part of the solution. You didn't have to be physically there. And that's another powerful lesson for the social sector. And I learned that myself personally. So my perspective has changed an enormous amount.
I mean, you go through different periods in these crises, don't you? There's a sort of honeymoon, and then there's probably a longer slog, and, you know, it'll take a while for us to get out of this. But I think I would completely agree. It's both exposed the need for and reinforced the value of the digital, and much of the social sector hasn't had the capacity to really do that well. And so that, hopefully, this might lead to that being dramatically improved, a sort of dramatic period of learning. But that underlying message that Adele talks about, that actually what gets societies through this is of course, government plays a vital role, the NHS, but it's a lot of self-help. My hope, I suppose, is that COVID, if there's any sort of dividend out of it, is that people learn to collaborate more creatively as a result of it, and solve problems more adaptively and do so more urgently. I suppose one of the questions is going to be, well, if you can be that creative in a crisis, how can you hold on to that once the crisis has passed, because there's no doubt that the crisis has created the conditions in which people have been forced to work together in ways that they often refuse to do or they find too threatening. So that may be one of the long-term benefits.
Thanks then to Adele, Damon and Charlie for joining me today for this, the first Purpose podcast, focused on 10 years of the Social Business Trust. The appetite for social enterprise has been rising for many years, and there are huge opportunities and positives for social enterprises and corporate partners alike. Digital will be key and is likely both the biggest challenge and opportunity facing social enterprise today. Thank you for joining us.
The Purpose Podcast, a podcast series brought to you by Social Business Trust to celebrate the 10-year anniversary.